We continue our series on a firm foundation. We're looking at foundational elements in our faith, in our life, in our church. And this morning we're looking at hope. And this morning the second reading is found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And these are Paul's words to the church at Rome and also to us. And listen to the words about hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have accessed by faith into his grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at a series on firm foundation. This morning, we're looking at hope, and I'd like to get started with something a little humorous first. I heard about this man who was in the airline ticket counter line, and he was hollering and screaming at the agent, and he just continued to rant and rave, and the ticket agent was just as calm and collect as could be. And finally, when he was done, the next man stepped up and said, "Man, I am so impressed, ma'am. You must be a Christian. How could you possibly be so kind to that man?" She smiled and said, "Well, it's not so hard. He's going to Detroit, but his bags are going to Bangkok." Well, you know, sometimes some unexpected things happen in life. In fact, sometimes some not so good things happen. And sometimes our lives become driven by fear rather than guided by hope. In fact, I'm reminded as I'm in the stores lately that Halloween is approaching. Of course, they got both Halloween and Christmas there. So it's an interesting mix. But I don't know what you think about Halloween. It's like it plays maybe on all of our fears. I always think of it as a very playful holiday. And in fact, Savannah is always dressed up as something that's sort of more like a princess or a TV series rather than scary stuff. But I think sometimes when we celebrate Halloween, we bring to life all the fears that we might have, and we try to make it playful. Or we watch scary movies. And the question is, do we really like to be scared? In fact, some psychologists have studied that, and they've looked at two things. One is that it's not so much that we like to be scared, because none of us really like to be afraid, but we like to be with our friends and be scared and know that it's okay. Or we like to see that something scary is happening to someone else rather than us, right? Are you with me? And so sometimes these things happen in our life, and the question is, are we going to be driven by fear rather than guided by hope? And this morning I want to look at guided by hope from a Christian perspective. In our culture today, sometimes hope gets a bad name. In fact, someone came to me the other day and said, "You know, when you talk about the hope of the resurrection, I mean, is that just like a wishful thought?" And I said, "No. The Christian hope in the resurrection is a firm foundation. It's grounded in Christ and what Christ has done for us." And the reason I think we say that sometimes is that word hope begin to associate things like maybe it's just wishful thinking, like buying a lottery ticket. Now, I'm not against that. I heard about this man who kept praying that he'd win the lottery, and finally God said, "Well, you got to meet me halfway. You got to at least buy a ticket," right? So I'm not promoting that you do that. We think about wishful thinking, or we think about blind optimism, and in the face of all that, we sort of see that maybe sometimes there are some people who've been disappointed by some of the hopes that couldn't be grounded in. And in fact, hope is important in life, because hope is sort of the light in the night when dark things do happen to us. And there's plenty of things to be afraid of. I'm reminded, for those of you who love classic literature, that in Dante's classic Inferno, it says, going into hell, it said, "Leave behind all hope those who enter here." And in a sense, some people go through hell on earth in that way. And the theologian Moltmann Jürgen said, "Without hope, life is not worth living." But what is true Christian hope? And I found a couple definitions that I really like. First of all, that hope is a confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill his promises to us and will break through despair and darkness and bring hope and new life and has a plan and purpose for our life. But the best definition, I think, that I found of hope is a beautiful one that I like. And it's three parts, really. It's absolved from the past. Absolved means forgiven. Assured of the future. And alive in the present. And I'd like to walk through that this morning. And in fact, hope is so important in our life. I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that says, "We have this anchor as a hope firm and secure for our souls." It's just one of my favorite passages in all the scripture. But I'd like to walk through this scripture in Romans 5 and realize that it meets those three definitions, in fact, fills it out. And so the first is absolved from the past. And absolved is just a nice word that means forgiven. But it's nice sometimes to have that alliteration in helping us to remember things. So Paul writes this about being absolved from the past. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that hope comes that we've been forgiven. And he goes on to say this, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. So we have a place to stand, a firm foundation when we need forgiveness from God from things that we've done in the past. So we're absolved from the past and then we're assured of the future. God has a plan and purpose in our future. And Paul goes on to say this, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. We know that no matter what is happening in our life, as we go through even the trials and difficulties, the challenges and adversity of life, that God works even through that, and God has a plan and purpose, and God has assured us of our future in him. And then finally, we are alive in the present. And Paul says this, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. True hope makes us alive in the present because God is alive and God is alive in our life and working there. And listen again to Psalm 62, which I read earlier, and this is beautiful. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Absolved from our past, assured of our future, and alive in the present. I'd like to take a moment and walk through that now and think about how that impacts each of our lives. So all of us have done some things in life that we need forgiveness from, and so Paul assures us, and the concept of hope assures us that we're absolved, we're forgiven from things in our past. And we all know that great verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And you and I do some things in our life that we need forgiveness for. There's a wonderful story of this young man in the 18th century. He was just a teenager, and he joined the British Army. He was all right with the army, but then when the shots of battle began to fly, he became incredibly terrified, and he ran away from the army. He deserted the army. He lived with that gnawing fear all of his life that he deserted the army. Now he became a great astronomer, even discovered a new planet. And then one day, King George sent for him, and he was terribly afraid because he thought maybe the king had found out about his desertion and would have him executed. But when the king arrived, the king handed him an envelope, and he opened the envelope and found a royal pardon from the king. And King George said this, "Now we can come and talk, and you shall come and live at Windsor Castle." That astronomer was named William Herschel. He was a great astronomer. He was not only forgiven of the past, he was assured that he would be a member of the royal family. And you and I are very much like that, though we may not be an astronomer or a scientist today, but you and I have things in our past that would weigh us down. God, through Christ, has invited us with a royal pardon that perhaps we didn't deserve, but God has invited us to be part of the royal family. And so it is that we are a child of God. And then we're assured of the future. And sometimes things happen in our life, and there are things that we can be afraid of because they're things that bring darkness into our life. But even amidst all of that, hope in God, firm hope, is a candle in the deepest, darkest night. I love this verse from Jeremiah 29, and Jeremiah writes this in a time when Israel was in a time of captivity and oppression and injustice. But Jeremiah sees a ray of hope in all this, and he says this about God's plans for the future. And I think it's a promise that we ourselves can be assured of. Jeremiah writes this in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you. A great hope in the midst of darkness and despair. And Paul, in prison, was able to write in this book of Romans later on. He was able to say, all things work to the good of those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. Paul could see even the darkness of prison and the persecution that he was facing, that God had a plan and purpose, and God was working through all those things. I love the story of President Harry Truman, who was a president who became president because President Roosevelt had passed away, and he was a bit of a warrior. In fact, he shared at his inaugural address how he felt like the weight of the whole universe was on his shoulders. He, of course, felt the pressure of the conclusion of World War II and all the negotiation that were now in his lap and how it would impact Europe and the United States and really the entire world for decades to come. And he had a great deal of trouble sleeping. He tried everything, and he couldn't find any rest. He would lay at night awake and just think of all the duties and responsibilities that he had and the pressure that he was facing. But one day he decided to start reading the Psalms. And so as he read the Psalms, he came across that beautiful Psalm 121, verse 4, and it says this, "For the God of Israel will not slumber or sleep." And that gave him great comfort. In fact, he would read that every night before he went to sleep, and it gave him the comfort that he could sleep. And he remarked about that psalm. He said that I, as the President of the United States, even with all the duties and tasks that I have, I can go to sleep at night knowing that God is watching over me and our country and everything in the world. And he had peace in that. And so we're assured of whatever we're going through, how difficult it is, how much challenge and adversity we face, that God has a plan and purpose, and God has the power to see us through. And then finally, when we're absolved of the past, when we're forgiven of the past that weighs us down and makes us feel guilty, and when we're assured that we have a future, then God has a plan and purpose, then we're free to be alive in the present, because God is the God who is alive. And I'm reminded sometimes, as we just finished up the series on Moses not long ago, and Moses was on the mountaintop, and Moses was worshiping the Almighty God, and Moses was receiving the words of life, and yet the people were worshiping the golden calf below. And of course, it was a mark of greed, and it was a mark of sort of the culture around them. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the people were worshiping something that was dead, that couldn't bring life. And Moses was in the presence of the living God and was bringing words of life to the people. And sometimes, even though we're not worshiping a golden calf, we worship things that cannot bring life. We worship maybe success and the gold and silver of fame and all the fortunes that we see around us. But the truth is, they can't bring life. Only one thing can bring life, and that's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And because God is alive in us, and we can be alive knowing that God is at work. And I love this verse from Lamentations 3:21. It says this, "This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the steadfast love of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning." You and I can get up every day, no matter what we're facing, know that we have forgiveness for the past, we have a plan and purpose for the future, and we're alive in the present because what God does for us. And so the question for each of us is, if we know those truths and if we're allowing God to work those truths out in our life, then why aren't we sharing them? Maybe is all that we could. You yourself know, and in places in your life, maybe there's been a moment where it seemed dark and discouraging and you didn't think there was any hope, and someone came by and shared a word of hope, and maybe it was a scripture, maybe it was a time of prayer, maybe it's just a word of encouragement, what that hope meant to you, like a light coming on in darkness. And Jesus challenged us with these words that are in Matthew chapter 5 that Holly read earlier, and I want to read it and think about it as a challenge to us. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus was challenging us that we, in fact, are a candle in darkness, and we can make a difference in the world by shedding the light of God's love everywhere and sharing the hope that is real. Hebrews 6:19 again says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." You know, if you're anchoring a boat, you want to anchor to something that's firm and secure so that the winds and waves, the storms don't knock the boat about. And so you always look, if you're sort of a navigator for a boat, you want to make sure that anchor is secure. And the writer of the Hebrews goes on to the next verse and says, "The reason that our hope is firm and secure is it's anchored in the very throne room of God because what Christ has done for us on the cross." And so you and I indeed are absolved from the past. We're assured of the future, and we're alive in the present. I want to close with just a couple stories. One of them was the great writer in the 20th century, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. At one point in his life, he was in a Russian gulag, in a salt mine, and every day he saw prisoners that were being killed, and it was so harsh and so difficult, and he thought so hopeless that he often saw people sit down on a bench and a guard would walk up and kill them. One day he was so desperate and so without hope that he just decided that he was going to go over and sit down on the bench and put his shovel to his side and wait for the guard to come up and order him to stand. And he knew that when he didn't stand, that he would be shot right there or beat to death with his own shovel. And as he sat on that bench, ready for the inevitable to happen, he felt a presence next to him, and this old, wizened man had sat down next to him. The man didn't say anything. It was just his face was expressionless, but he took a stick. And with the stick, he drew the sign of the cross slowly in the sand. And as Solzhenitsyn stared at the cross, he realized that if God could take the worst instrument of torture in the world and through that bring the ultimate triumph, then he himself had hope. And so that old man got up, and slowly Solzhenitsyn got up. And later he was freed from that gulag. His writings went on to inflame the world and to bring the passion of freedom and justice to the world. And you and I face difficulties and adversity in life, but if we look at the image of the cross, it reminds us that what God has done is a firm anchor for our souls in all of life. And I'm going to close with this thought. There is an artist who was painting a picture of this little cottage in a dark winter night, and it was a painting looked rather bleak. It was just that cottage in the darkness of the wood, and all the dark was dark inside the cottage. But in the last stroke of his brush, the artist painted a little candle in the window. And somehow that transformed that painting from darkness and gloom to one of hope and light. And I think in the same way, in our darkest night, when we share a candle of hope, it lights the world of our life, but also all those around us. And so we can share the hope that we have in Christ. Absolved from the past, assured of our future, and alive in the present, we have this hope as a firm anchor for our soul and a foundation of our faith. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, sometimes we do face the darkness of fears that trouble us. We see things in the world around us, or even things that impact our own life that bring us fear. But Lord, we don't want to be driven by fear. We want to be guided by hope. And so help us to realize, to hold on to the firm anchor that we have that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because what he has done and accomplished on the cross and in the resurrection, we are absolved. We are forgiven from the past. We are assured of the future that we have in you. And we are indeed alive in the present through your power and to your glory. And all God's people said, Amen.